The meaning of worship is absolute loyalty and obedience to God. We worship none but God. Therefore, our loyalty is really to God. And our obedience is really obedience to God. Though the person we are respecting over us may be the teacher, school teacher, parent, school teacher, mayor, governor, police, judge, any number of persons in the capacities, in the offices, maybe are in their respected positions of authority, maybe giving us the order and we may be obeying our respect and showing acceptance of their order or their authority over us. But actually the believer should understand that his obedience is really obedience to God and not to the person. Even when we obey our mother, it's obedience to our mother, but ultimately and most importantly, it's obedience to God. We accept her authority under God, because after all, God created her and created us and created the system, the family system. God created that, the family order. God created that. We didn't create it. God created that. And whatever authority is there, God has established it. So you should understand that your obedience is really to God. And if you don't understand that, you have to have some authority above that authority and to keep you obedient. That's why daddy backs up mama. Sometimes, not now, it's changing. And the law backs up daddy and mama. Yeah, you get too bad for daddy and mama, they can call the police. The law will back up daddy and mama. You see? And the bad child who is tempted to disrespect his mother or his father, many times he checks himself and not do the thing where in his mind because he fears what the police might do, what the courts might do to him, right? So though we don't make God the authority over the other authorities we accept, God has given us the nature that forces us to have to recognize bigger authorities backing up lesser authorities, or smaller authorities. And the biggest of them all is God. And it would be much easier on all of us if we just recognize God as the authority over all and do what we know pleases God, that we know is in accord with God's way. That would make life so easy and so nice. If my mother and father could come back here and speak right now, I have no fear of the judgment when it comes to facing my mother and father. And in my religion, which I hope is your religion too, acts of disrespect toward parents is a serious crime. And God will punish you for that. Your soul will have to give up that and become right with God before you come out of hell. If they could come before me right now, there would be nothing but kind greetings and respect from both of us, from them to me and from me to them. They would stand here before you right now and say, this boy has never shown disrespect. He has never said ugly things to us. He has never used bad language to us. When we told him something to do, he either did it or he walked away quietly. He never argued with us. It was something that I couldn't do. I just walked away quietly. I wouldn't argue with him. So, what did they tell you that you couldn't do? Believe Farad was a God. When I grew out of that, I couldn't believe it no more, and I couldn't accept it anymore. So when they told me, well, you have to accept it, I just walked away quietly. I didn't argue with them. I argued with some of you all, but not with them. Because I owe that respect to them. They're my parents. They're my parents. Even though I was a grown man then, and right now I'm 52 years old. But if it was possible for them to come here right now, I would respect them just like I did when I was 15 years old, or 5 years old. Yeah, same respect. I respect them the same way. Because that's what my understanding of my religion has fixed into me. That I'm supposed to give them that respect. And I've seen some of the members of my family argue with them right in the present. Well, I got a mind of my own too. Yes, I know some. I'm not going to name them. I don't tie to my own opinion. I never would talk to my father or mother like that. No, indeed. In fact, I threatened to put them all out of the house once myself. Those that speak like that, I said, look, I said, I will get you out of here. It wasn't my father, it was my mother that was doing something with disrespect. And I told him, I'll get you out of here. You ain't going to do that. I will do something to you quick. That's what I told him. Not going to name anybody, but I've always been that way. And I thank Allah, I thank God that I was raised like that. My mother's raised me to be respectful. And she showed me the beautiful and strong side of herself. And it won my respect for life. And whatever she taught me, I respected it. She taught me to respect my father. I respected that. I respected him. She taught me to respect everything. I do that. Taught me to respect that. Any adult here can say that I mistreat you or talk to you in a disrespectful way? No. No. I talk to every adult here with respect. Yes, sir. No, sir. They have to tell me. Don't say yes, sir. With the greatest respect, until they go crazy. Then I still show them respect, but I just let them know that that's just the end of this now. You have to go. All right, so that gives us an idea of jihad, the meaning of jihad. It can go for war. It means war. But it can only be war if the war is just and for God's pleasure only. It has to be just, fair, not seeking to take advantage of anybody, not fought for nation, not fought for possessions, for worldly possessions, but fought only for righteous principle under God. And the necessity has become so strong that life is threatened, our freedom is denied. Then the Muslim can go to war as a nation, go to war, and that war can be called jihad. But there are heavy qualifications to meet in order for it to be called jihad. What's going on over there in the Middle East? It's part jihad and part confusion. Part jihad and part confusion. There are some good, well-meaning people over there who've really been misused, and they're really fighting in the spirit of obedience to God. For them is jihad. But there are many others who have taken on the character of the oppressors. And those who sacrifice principle, or put down principle for worldly gain. They have taken on that character. And once you take on that character, your struggle is not recognized as jihad. It's no more a struggle for God. It's a struggle for yourself. To protect the sacred mosque, the sacred precinct, surely, that's jihad. That is jihad. To protect property that belongs to you, that's jihad. But you have to do it in the right spirit. If you allow, just like Allah said in the Quran, do not allow the hatred for another people to affect you and cause you to do something out of justice. Even though you've been wronged,
Do not allow the hatred for people who put you out of your home. Huh? Isn't that the Holy Book? Yes. You were wrong. They put you out of your home. They drove you out of your home. They took your land. They put you out of your home. But God said, do not let the hatred for people like that cause you to act out of justice. Another place God said, and be just. That is nearest to piety. If you want to get close to God, in obedience to God, reverence for God, then he says, practice justice. That's the way to get closer and closer to taqwa, in taqwa. Obedience to God, or piety is translated sometimes. So we must understand Islamic principles, mold of Muslim character. And anything that you do to take you out of that character is wrong. And once you start accepting to get out of the Muslim character, you are on your own. God is not your protector. You are on your own. You are headed for big trouble. So we close out this afternoon, this Sunday afternoon, our teaching, our ta'aleem, by focusing again on community. God says to us in the Holy Book, you are the best community, brought out for the good of all people. You are the best community, brought out for the good of all people. And God has given us as a discipline for our life, prayer. And has united us in this discipline with the center, Kaaba. We all turn toward that one simple house of worship, Kaaba, the holy house in the desert of Arabia. We turn toward that house, whether we are natives of Africa or Europe, Asia or South America, China or North America, wherever we are, or in the islands of the Pacific, we all turn toward that simple structure, making one uniform discipline on this planet. Just imagine in your mind a picture, a photograph of that is enough to endear you to that practice, to make you love that practice. Seeing humanity, not a race, humanity, not a nation, but humanity, global community of man, going through one ritual and the same ritual, and focusing upon a simple structure house, something very simple, very simple, not something that's golden, skyscraper stretching up to the sky, not something that's massive and impressive, no. Something small and very simple. And all of us turning toward that one simple structure. The whole global community of man. All the colors, all the nationalities. Various languages, we all are turning toward that one center. Glorifying God, not the house. For God says, and worship the Lord of this house, not the house. We know who we're worshiping. We're worshiping the God of that house, the Lord who ordered Abraham and Ishmael to build that house and keep it pure for his worship only. It's a symbol of the temple within us. It's a symbol of the temple within every man. And God has given the same inner makeup to every man, no matter what his color, no matter what his national origin. He has given the same essential makeup to every human being. And we have their simple house a symbol, a sign of the social life as God evolves it. And we turn in our discipline, recognizing that God has established our social life. He has made us one family, though we have branched out and become different nations. So we return to that in obedience to Him. And in honor of Elijah Muhammad, may God forgive him his sins and admit him into paradise. He wrote a little book on prayer, and he said there is no form of prayer better than the prayer of the Muslims. And in his book, he described, he made reference, clear reference, to prayer as we practice them today. Were established in his day, but it's established now, after his day. But we have his words of praise for what we are doing. Isn't that wonderful? Yes! This is wonderful. In spite of what he said, that all white people are born devils and they can't be saved. I know all that is not Islamic. It can't be accepted in Islam. In spite of what he said about the black man being God and all that. And God going to slaughter a white man and turn America, give America, turn America into a hell, a burning fire. It's going to burn for centuries, and et cetera, et cetera. But still, all of that can't erase the truth that he spoke, the good that he did, and the help that he gave me and you to come this way. All right. So see, give a man his day in court, but don't take away his evidence that he has in his defense. You got evidence against him, but allow him also the evidence he has in his defense. And let God be the judge, because we ain't big enough to do it. I can't understand why some of our people from the old days are still around here moaning and weakening and fussing and complaining and in a whole lot of confusion. It should be very clear. Should be very clear. Pick up your bills and walk, as the Christians say. So we have to understand the nature of this community. God, our community is in focus. We have to understand the nature of the community first. It is a community that is based upon inherent values. Inherent values. We believe that God created us with the excellence that we need to establish ourselves and prosper. And prosper on and on and on. We believe that God has endowed us with that. He has created us with that. We have inherent personal, human, and also community values. That all we need to do is give ourselves to God, and God will cause that to flower, to blossom. And the result will be the wonderful life that He intends for us. We also have to be aware that our community has an aim. And its aim is God's pleasure. God's pleasure. That keep us from becoming tyrants. That keep us from oppressing each other. As long as we live and struggle and strive and seek God's pleasure as our main object, then that will keep out these ugly influences that disfigure us and take away the Islamic character. We must understand, too, under the aim of the community, is that our community must be of good service to all people. Of good service to all people. God says that He caused the house to be raised up, the Kaaba, as a house for all people. That's what He says in our holy book. So we can't say, oh, the Kaaba is only for Muslims. Muslims are the ones who recognize it. But it's for all people. And any time they're ready to recognize it, they can turn toward it too. And it becomes their house. We can't exclude any of them from it. They all have the right to that house. It's a house that God says in our holy book that was raised up for all people. It was built up, established for all people. And the community that we are ourselves members in, as Americans and as blacks or African Americans, indigenous African Americans here, That community, God says of that community, it is a community brought out for the good of all people. How in the world can we talk about building a nation or building a great society against other people? In some kind of competition for dominance or control over other people. You can't do that. You have to include them in your community plan. If you got sense, if you're going to build a great Muslim society, you have to accommodate the needs of all people around you, in fact, on this globe. And not have anything in your plans that would do an injustice to any of them. To the contrary, you should have in your plan something to do a service to them, because that's God's intent, that the Muslim community be of good service to all people. All we need is somebody to follow this. That's all we need. All we need is somebody with the strength, the good heart, and the strength to accept this religion and follow it. And then you'll see big results come on this earth. It happened once, it can happen again. In the days of Muhammad, there were empires. There was a Persian empire. There was a Roman empire. There were mighty people. There was a strong right on the peninsula where he was preaching. They outnumbered him. He started out with a company of one, himself and his Lord. I should say two, because God says, wherever three meet, God is the fourth. Or if there's a smaller number, a greater number, God is there. So I should say he started out with a company of two, just him and his Lord, and then God blessed him with Khadijah. Well, Khadijah was with him from the start. No, I'm wrong. Khadijah was with him from the start, because before he even recognized what was happening to him, he went to his wife and explained it to her, and she had some knowledge of Christianity and this kind of a spiritual experiences, and she identified it to him. She said, I think God may be choosing you to be a messenger. She said, I have an uncle. I will talk to him and see if he was a Christian and see if he... And so the uncle finally heard about Prophet Muhammad's experience, and he says, you are the prophet that our scriptures tell us about, that was coming. So before even Prophet Muhammad knew God had chosen him, his wife had identified that this experience is it. This is God is choosing you. So she was the first, and him, the two of them. And then added to the two came Ali, Abu Bakr, Ali, Omar, and others came. They became the company. But at first he had only himself and his wife.